was, well, actually four, it seems, but one sort of general, if we call it a sort of general policing function, which would be to be an intermediary sometimes with when there was a problem with the supervisor, or mm-hmm. in these instances with the FBI,
mm-hmm.
More of an intermediary function between the women in either supervisory personnel or the military or the FBI.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true.
What, because you were trying to really keep it as informal as possible then, does that mean that, for instance, when someone left, were the counselors involved in an interview attempting to determine why they were leaving?
They didn't leave very much. They really didn't, but no, that would not be their function. Uh-huh. See, that would be the plant personnel function.
And how about in terms of absenteeism? Would the counselors get involved
yes,
in that?
Yes, very much.
And how would that process work then?
If a person was absent a great deal, then that would usually come from the supervisor, who would say, this person has been absent, you know, 10 times this month. And we tried, if it was over a certain number of days, then it really looked like a problem. And so then we would, I remember down at Plant 7, I think it was, this one colored girl only would work Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then she would never work Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And they couldn't figure out why, and so I went down. I think that was before there was a counselor assigned down there, and I talked to her. She said, well, I had made all the money I wanted that week. And as far as she was concerned. See, she had been, again, used to working day work, where she got so much, and mm-hmm. she'd only work so many days. So she just did it in the plant, not realizing that she had to carry a full-time job if that's what she was working on.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was that. They just didn't know how to do it, you know.
And what would happen in instances like that after you talked to them?
Well, you just tell her she had to work mm-hmm. full-time, and she'd do it, sometimes grudgingly and sometimes graciously.
Do you recall any special problems with the hiring of the Pearl Harbor widows? And of course, they were probably already there by the time you started all this. I think they came in.
No,
February.
I met them all.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Uh huh. I must have been working on it somehow because I remember them very distinctly. Mm. And they didn't all come. They didn't all accept. And if they did, they didn't all stay. I recall that I was surprised that they didn't. They were a lovely group of women.
Now, were most of them down at the Maywood plant, or did they come up to Burbank, too?
Well, they were all fated at the Burbank plant.
Oh.
And that's where they got their welcome
mm-hmm.
and the pictures and everything.
Mm-hmm. Now, you started mentioning before that the Santa Fe and 7th plant was had a large proportion of black workers because of its location. Do you recall many Hispanic women in that plant?
There were some, but I don't. I don't remember that I thought of it that much.
Mm-hmm.
I really was never very prejudiced myself in mm-hmm. any grouping, and so I didn't give it much thought. The only concern that I had at first was when the Negroes came in, and because they were coming in and we had to assimilate them. But going down there after that, I don't recall it. We just mm-hmm. didn't accept a problem and just...
To what extent did the minority women use the counselors, do you think? Do you recall instances where they came to the counselor mm-hmm. for assistance rather than an instance where you had to, because of a problem, go talk to somebody?
Well, I don't know that it was a problem. I think they were just part of the people who came.
Mm-hmm. Now, I wonder the extent to which they avail themselves of the counseling.
Yes, I know what you're
services.
Asking, but I don't know that I can separate
yeah.
them because I didn't separate them in my own uh-huh. mind.
How about in terms of the other counselors? Because you mentioned the one woman who wanted to speak to segregated audiences.
Yeah.
Did that seem to be a problem with the counselors?
No, the only thing that became a problem, and it wasn't with too many of them, and looking over this, I remember some were a little more ambitious than others. They would become very, very used to the man they were working with. And then they would want to do things in that particular department that we didn't do company-wise. And we didn't feel that was a good thing to do. And Penholder particularly did that with his supervisors. Periodically, he would rotate them so that they were not in their same capacity. Mm-hmm. So they couldn't build up so that you couldn't really control them. They could see the overview. Mm-hmm. You know, you couldn't have one department saying, you can do this, and the next department saying, you can't do that. So you had to treat it pretty much alike. And one time I rotated all of them, and I had studied at a great length so that I knew the distance from their home and it would be possible to move them from different. And, oh, that was dreadful. I think much, much harder with women than it ever was with men. Much harder. They were just not about to accept that.
So this was actually rotation to different companies?
Different plants or mm-hmm. different departments. Mm-hmm. And it was awful. It was just awful.
Why do you think that was?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that Penholder wanted me to do it because he found it successful with the men.
Mm-hmm.
But the men, if they grumbled, they just grumbled and that was the end of it and went about their business. But the women just were ready to do battle.
I wonder if part of it was that they had built up confidence in being
of
in
course.
The one location, and then
yeah.
it just disrupted that sense of confidence as
yes.
they moved into a totally
new place. Oh, yes. I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. And the idea of the change was really not that convincing to them
mm-hmm.
because you didn't want to say you're too big for your britches in this department and we're going to have to switch you. We said instead we would like to switch you because everybody has a point of view and we would like a supervisor to get another facet of the program because everybody handles it differently. We would like to see them see somebody else do it, which was true.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that mm-hmm. it was lying. It was the truth, but that was rough.
Did you have to retract that, or did it stay in effect?
It stayed in effect. We talked a long time before we did it, and we did it. And you couldn't back up.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't back up once you started something like that.
Did you do that again, or was that
no,
the only occasion that you did?
I couldn't live through it another time.
Physically, where were the counselors located? Would they have their own office in each plant?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And
in each department, like, you know,
mm-hmm.
there, it would be wherever they could have a little office. They weren't very fancy offices, and they were small,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't need to be. It had to be private,
mm-hmm.
but it could be the size of a closet,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes watts, you know, really just big enough for a desk. And I'm inclined to feel that the less ostentatious, the more effective.
Mm-hmm. Was there communication among the total counselor group or their regular weekly or monthly
yes.
meetings of all counselors?
Yes, we had regular meetings. I don't know, you've probably come across this one. I don't know what, that was in the Star. That was a group of them, and we always had the boardroom, and we had meetings in that.
Ooh. happened to work in Christmas?
We also worked with the union, you know. The unions, we had very good relationship with them.
And how would that work exactly?
Well, the union, too, was getting there. I remember that because here's a picture of us giving a check from the Book of the Month to Bess Cochran, who was the head woman in the union. And but I remember the man who was head of the union out there. You know, it was an open shop, and so what we did really was what they have tried to assign shop stewards and people like that to. You see, we did it company-wise before they had a shot at it, really. Mm. But they were very cooperative, and they liked us, and they worked with us very well. I think they have since had more union problems than they had at that time.
Was there ever a point, for instance, at which there was a problem that you would then contact the union about to get some assistance on for a person? Would that ever occur?
It could have occurred. I don't remember that it did too much. I can remember talking to them about some problems generally, and mm-hmm. they agreeing with us that mm-hmm. that was the way to handle it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember any specific problems right this minute. But it could have been.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been. I don't think I'd be very helpful.
Oh, no. That talking about it now, my suspicion is the next couple of weeks you will start to remember all sorts of other things. No, it is being very... And these records are very helpful. I wonder if what I might do is... when we finish, maybe try and find a Xerox place here in Laguna and just take these down and Xerox them and then bring them back instead of physically taking them to school and doing that.
Well, I don't mind if you want to take them, if you'll promise me you'll return
them.
Oh, absolutely. I don't even know what I want them for, except that I've sort of kept them all these years.
So this is extremely helpful, this list, for instance, of... the reasons mm-hmm. under the cases. And I noticed it's interesting under the general, under number five, a general trend of the whole problem of employment of women as you see it, whether there is a clearing up of racial problems, whether there is much loose talk among women, I presume that meant security sort of problems,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or whether the women are a better caliber than they have been, or general comments of the condition of women in your particular area. And this is the most concrete thing I've ever seen in the terms of the counselor's functions, the counselor's mm-hmm. programs. It's very helpful. You mentioned the other day that, because I think that the last thing I came across, which was in the end of 42, since I hadn't gotten into 43 yet, at that point, there were just the 9 counselors. 6 at Lockheed and 3 at Vega. You were in charge of the Vega counselors too then.
Yes, when the merger came. Now, they approached theirs quite different. And if you ever can get a hold of Miriam Kane, she was one of the ones that developed that. And they had a whole different philosophy.
Oh.
And it was more... I think I would be fair to say it was more like a fellow worker type approach rather than somebody like from a personnel department.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like somebody who worked beside them and it seemed to be more, I don't think it was more factory oriented, but our approach was a little bit different. And when we pulled it together, they thought they had the absolute answer to it. And I wasn't sure of any answers, but I just was the one that was stuck with it. And so I was going to try to pull it together. And we did pull it together, and we did work it out so that, again, we tried to standardize it throughout the...
Were there components of theirs that you then introduced, or did you basically remain with your program as you had been developing it?
No, they were permitted to continue, many of them that were not in conflict with what we were doing. Mm. It wasn't a big upheaval. Mm-hmm. We tried to do it as easily as possible. But they wore slacks, for instance, from the beginning, long before women were wearing slacks to work.
Oh.
Actually, because they were a lot of them in the factories. Our counselors mainly wore dresses. I don't know if that gives you a picture of the difference. It was just a little bit different.
Now, were they actually on the factory floor then?
But so were we. Uh-huh. But it was different. They just had it. They were sort of down. I don't know how to say it. They were beneath us or thought so. They just thought they were more effective if they were dressed like the mm-hmm. worker and as a worker.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't think that was important. And mm-hmm. so that was the difference in mm-hmm. the philosophy. We wouldn't have cared if some of our girls had come that way. We didn't make an issue of it. Nobody talked about it. It just never was brought up. And I don't know that it's bad either or good mm-hmm. either way. Mm-hmm. I don't think it mattered that much. I don't think it mattered as much as mm-hmm. they thought it did.
Uh-huh.
They gave a lot of importance mm-hmm. to that, and I don't think it was that important.
Were they as involved in the development of contacts with social service agencies as you were?
I don't think quite as much, although they would have had to be some. And that was really at the very end of it that it was pulled together. I forget what the dates were that Vega merged with Lockheed. Do you have that date anywhere?
It's somewhere. Well, let's see, at the point at which... Well, see, I always thought it was 43, but it's peculiar because the Lockheed Vega Star always talks about both.
Mm-hmm.
Even in 41. So mm-hmm. it's almost as if structurally they were functioning in a certain way, but officially and legalistically the merger hadn't occurred.
Of course, the two brothers did that. Maybe it was two companies because of that. Mm-hmm. I don't recall.
Now, at what because as I say, the last reference that I had in 42, having not passed, gotten beyond 42, there were the 9 counselors total, and you were the chief counselor. I imagine it was in 43 with the tremendous increase that you then got all of these other counselors.
Yeah, and I thought that there were about 75 when we had the Vega ones, too.
And you did you end up primarily then going from plant to plant, being in mm-hmm. touch with the counselors, rather than you were no longer doing any direct services yourself, were you?
I would if I was called upon, but mm-hmm. I was doing an awful lot. I was also working with John Cannaday, who was head of public relations, in speaking to groups that they would ask Lockheed for a woman to come and speak about the women. And there was a lot of animosity in the community against women who went to work.
Oh, how would it express itself?
Well, they were just hostile. They thought those women should be home taking care of their children.
Even though all of the recruitment was the need for the women.
It didn't make any difference. They thought the children should be cared for. And so my job in talking to people, and that would be, all kinds of women's groups. And Bess Wilson was the writer for the Times, and she would just follow me around every place I'd go. We became good friends. And so she would always write up anything that we said, But I was trying to give the kind of problems that women had by going to work and how the fact that she was working didn't mean necessarily that she was neglecting her child. I didn't neglect my children, and I worked hard to not,
mm-hmm.
because I would, saw to it. I extended my life so that each child had their day, their hour in court every day.
Mm-hmm.
And they were well fed. I cooked all night. I've done all kinds of things so that my home was disrupted as little mm-hmm. as possible. And I felt that many, many women did that. And I felt just because they were mothers didn't necessarily mean they were good mothers. They mm-hmm. could, maybe they weren't working, but maybe they were playing bridge and they weren't paying as much attention as a working mother. And so I tried to give that kind of a counter conversation.
How successful would that be, do you think, going to, for instance, the women's clubs and speaking about the problem?
Well, I think Mr. Kennedy probably could answer that better, but I think that they felt it was very successful. They didn't force me to do it because I wasn't hired to do that, but I said, sure, I would try to do it, and I did do a lot of it, and I felt that I'm not bragging about it, and I'm not talking that it was me necessarily, but I felt that when I finished an evening of the conversation that those people that I talked to understood
mm-hmm.
what we were talking about. And I felt that the people who attended those meetings were no longer hostile.
Mm-hmm.
I think they felt that there was a need, there was a point, and it was one that perhaps they hadn't thought about.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, but I did think that at the beginning, neighbors were watching children, and there were children that were neglected.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying there weren't, and I didn't intend to then.
Mm-hmm.
But I did say what was being done about it, why it was good, and it was good. It was good for the children.
Mm-hmm.
I sent my own children. They had good food, and it was good for them.
So they were also hostile to the child care centers then.
Oh, yes. They didn't think it was right for the child care centers.
We were talking about the attitude of these.
But I don't, you know, I'm not saying that was totally successful in the community, but I do feel the groups that I talked
mm-hmm.
to by the questions that they asked and by the way they talked about it afterwards, I think they had a view of what the women were doing in the factories. And it wasn't all that easy.
Was there an effort in some of the speaking to try and recruit more women workers in? Is this when you were still needing more women workers?
No, I wasn't functioning to recruit. I was functioning for understanding
mm-hmm.
and for air travel
mm-hmm.
and for the whole concept of the aircraft. They felt they were smart enough to know that women had to be sold, the whole ball of wax.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me more about the kinds of work you did in terms of the development of the child care centers, because I noticed in October of 42, well, even earlier than that, there was some survey that the Recreation Club had done, and then in October of 42, there apparently was a survey of all the women in the plant with dependent children that I noticed was all to
mm-hmm.
be returned to you.
Mm-hmm.
What came out of all of that?
Well, I think those were to give us some figures of the age groups of children and what kind of care was needed. And I was a member, because of Lockheed, on the Women's Division of the Chamber of Commerce of Los Angeles. I was on many of the different I was Women's Division of CED. I don't even remember what that was. Women's Division of Chamber of the Metropolitan Welfare Council, the Business and Professional Women's Clubs, all of them, all around, the Industrial Council, the Family Relations Institute, Personnel Women's Groups, we met, and
mm-hmm.
they still have an organization. YWCA, the National Vocational Guidance Association, all of those organizations I attended regularly whenever they met
mm-hmm.
because they were involved with doing these things. And so my voice was Lockheed's
mm-hmm.
On those organizations, as were many women were represented there.
Now, on something, for instance, like this survey, was that information mainly turned over to the Board of Education for
it would be
the funding, the Lanham Act funding for the child care centers? Is that how it would work?
No. Well, we would take it to the various boards that were working on that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, with one board, we visited Mr. Warren, I think he was governor
mm-hmm.
then, and had them approved there. And then from then on, it was... We also found those figures for the various locations of where the greatest concentration of children of various ages were.
Well, is this something like this survey, was this done independently by you at Lockheed, or is this something that was being done at all of the
I
companies?
I think that I was trying to get information to take back to these various organizations.
Mm-hmm.
That I, and after the war, after we were wanting the women to go home, I was on the Metropolitan Board of the YWCA, and we gave a, I don't know where that is, we gave a seminar of, it was terrific, it was just really great, and we gave, this was it, and we offered the services of all of our women's counselors in the various areas to counsel them in what to do with their, you know, where to go now, what
mm-hmm.
to do now, and counseling them in returning.
Hmm.
But those are the speakers that we had, and it was considered extremely successful.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the child care center that you used in Glendale or Burbank? What did it be?
Well, it was both.
Mm-hmm.
They were in both of them. And what I had to do, they took the child. You could drop your child off there at 7 in the morning if you wanted to. And they gave them a bowl of hot cereal and a glass of milk. And then they went to school at 8. Then after school, they went to the center, which was a room, and they could lie down if they were a young enough child, or they could play or do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They were. It was supervised play. And they gave them a snack, and you paid very little for that, but it was the reason that if I didn't have a woman at my home, I wanted to know where they were,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted them supervised, and they were not allowed to leave the playground. And there was enough activity provided for them that they enjoyed it. They enjoyed
mm-hmm.
it. They didn't feel that they were having to stay after school or anything. And my children, to this day, will remember it,
mm.
you know. The only problem I had, now some of them didn't have a full program, and I had to move my child from maybe one school to another that was not in their
oh.
regular neighborhood, and that was kind of it wasn't really a problem with my children because they had their friends
mm-hmm.
anyway, so it didn't matter, but that... There wasn't a child care center in every school, so you had to get your child into the school that had one if you needed to
mm-hmm.
have that kind of help.
What would happen, for instance, you said sometimes you would work swing shift or work the graveyard shift. What would happen in that?
Well, my husband was
there.
My husband would take care of
the...
And I wouldn't do that on a regular basis,
mm-hmm.
but I would go in on one shift at least once a month
mm-hmm.
and work a whole shift
mm-hmm.
with a counselor.
In the meaning of the counselors, would the counselors who worked the swing shift and graveyard shift also meet with the rest
yes.
of you, or,
mm-hmm.
or would it be with just you?
No,
the whole body of
yeah.
70-some
yeah.
counselors within you.
Because it was important to exchange ideas and mm-hmm. to bring up problems in various areas to see if everybody had them or if they were just isolated.
And was this used in any way for further training of the counselors? Did you ever have people come in
yes.
from the outside?
Yes, I did. Different ones to come mm-hmm. in and talk.
What do you recall about the exchange of information between the counselors at the different plants? You mentioned that the counselors from all of the companies would meet on a monthly basis in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
But let me first ask, would that have included Douglas, Voltee,
yeah.
North America,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Northrop?
And Boeing was a member of that, too. And I think they